Good morning, everyone. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we turn to your word at the start of a new academic year, we pray that as surely as we want our young people and our children and those at university to be learners this year, that we would also be learners, that this church would be a place of training, a place of learning, a place where we are stretched both mentally and physically, but most importantly, spiritually. So we invite you, Holy Spirit, to be our teacher today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, morning again, everybody. And can I just say, just add to what Carlton said, a huge level of excitement about Ruth Waddell, who's our new CAP manager. So it's really, really, really exciting. So I really do ask that you pray for her and really back her completely as she does this really important ministry. For anyone who doesn't know about CAP, Christians Against Poverty, and it is just such an important ministry. So please do pray for Ruth in all of that. It's great to see you all back. Some of you, as I know, have been on a sabbatical to holiday camps and caravans and all that sort of stuff. So it's good to see you all back here. Apparently, you're all leaving now, but I will. And we're really excited to share with some of you in a little moment. Jim, you really are all leaving. See you later. This is the Genesis of Exodus of Numbers. Have you heard of that? The Genesis. Yeah, anyway. Right. Well, folks, let me tell you about something. I have a little toy. I bought this for my wife Zara. No, I didn't. I bought this for our little Eliza. And she got this for Christmas. And it was a bit like, it reminded me of a time when I was in Uganda. And I remember I was sent off to get something in Uganda, to fetch something for somebody. And I walked past these gates, and there was this lovely goat tied to a rail as I was walking away. I went and got the thing I needed to get, and when I came back, the goat was gone. But there was a perfect shape of the goat in tinfoil over a fire a few minutes later. Well, when Eliza... Sorry. I felt sorry, but it tasted fine. When Eliza came down on Christmas morning, there was a horse wrapped, and she was like, we were like, what do you think it is? And she had no idea, but that's what she got for Christmas. And she absolutely loved it for a wee while. She sort of gets on it every day for about 30 seconds and all of that, and it's great. And we, every evening or whatever, have to put it back in the corner and all that sort of stuff. But a few, you know, but it's kind of okay. It's quite cute, isn't it? Called Florence the Horse. You know, it's quite good, but all it does is rocks backwards and forwards. That is literally all it does. So, you know, you literally do just sit on it and rock back and forth. Until about 3 or 4 days ago, Zara was moving it, and she lifted it, and she felt something hard underneath it. Now, we've had this for 9 months, okay? And she felt something hard underneath it. And she said, Simon, there's something hard there, you know. And we opened it up, and there's a battery pack in it, right? And for 9 months, we had no idea that it actually does stuff, you know. And Eliza, you know, she did like 30 seconds, backwards, forwards, it was all right, and all that sort of stuff. But she had no idea, and we had no idea what it could do, you know. So you should have seen it. I've got a wee video, but I'm not showing it this morning because you mightn't be able to see it. But you should have seen her wee face when she, first of all, saw us ripping her horse's stomach open and dripping a bit out of it and all that sort of stuff. Her wee face was horrified. And then, you know, we put it back in and put it down. And her wee face, when she heard that Florence has a voice, was just beautiful. She was so happy. You can hear Florence. Now, we had to Google, what does Florence do? Because we put the batteries in and we went, right, do something. It didn't happen, okay? So we Googled it, and where do you hear Florence? I don't know where to put the microphone because I don't know where the noise of a horse comes out of. Okay, let's have a go. Oh, no, I've forgotten again how to do it. Oh, here. Can you hear? Yeah, more. There you go. Okay, he did it again there. You missed Florence. She had two things to say. And you should have just seen her wee face when she saw this horse can do stuff. This horse has a wee voice. This horse has a bit more to it than just rocking back and forward and back and forward and back and forward. And I suppose as I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about all that myself and Carlton had prayerfully discerned for our year, I just felt this was a great metaphor for our Christian lives and a great metaphor for our church, okay? I really, really, really do. A great metaphor for our Christian lives and a great metaphor for our church. Because here's what I think sometimes can happen, and I even sense it sometimes in my own life and here in our own church happening a little bit at times. It's that life just feels a bit like forward and back and forward and back. And we're having, you know, we're having another parish weekend, or we're going to have another harvest, and now we're going to have some Christmas services, and it feels a bit forward and back. Does anyone feel like that a wee bit sometimes? It's just kind of, we rock forward, we rock back, this is what we do. Sunday morning, come here, he wants us to come at 8:45, oh, you know, backward, forward. You know, it can be a bit like that. But I think there is more. There's more to this Christian life. There's more to this life of being a disciple than sometimes the forward and back motion of kind of the routine of church can sometimes lead us to believe. You know, there's a moment in the Gospels where Jesus says, do you know what I came for? I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I came that you might have life and have it to the full. And I think that sometimes this forward and back thing that we call the Christian life is far short of what God intends for our lives. You see, we had this thing for 9 months, and we had no idea that there was power. We had this thing for 9 months. We had no idea that this thing had a voice. And so, I've got to be honest, Eliza was pretty bored by it. She liked to look at it, but she wasn't very excited to play with it. Here's the question. Does our lives have the power of God in them? Do our lives have the voice of God speaking to them? Do they? Do they? Are we rocking backwards and forwards until Jesus comes back? Or are we really tapping into the power and the voice of God? Have you ever asked yourself, if you lived on a desert island, okay, and you were completely unaware of church history or anything else, and on the desert island, one day you discovered a book, okay, stuck in a wee treasure chest or something, and you opened it up, and you read this book. It was the only book you had to read for a decade on a desert island. Would you be expecting what we do every year to be what you do as a Christian? If you read this book, would you think that the way we generally live life and do church is kind of what this book would expect? Put up your hand if you think it might not be. Okay, a few people. I love that. Oh, you oh, Balcony, what do you think? Okay, a few people. Okay, when you read about Jesus who gets this wee bunch of lads together and shows them how to feed people, how to heal people, how to lead people, how to deliver people, would you think, well, the point is that you go to a room once a week and you have a harvest service once a year and maybe you have some Christmas services, a carol service. Do you think that would be the case? No, Jesus did not want us to rock back and forward. He wanted us to be plugged into the power, and he wanted us to hear his voice. That's what I believe completely. And here's the question. Are you satisfied with rocking backwards and forwards? I haven't even done the altar call yet. Okay, are you satisfied with rocking backwards and forwards? Or do you want more of God? Okay, that's not rhetorical. Are you satisfied with rocking backwards and forwards? Okay, 30% of the church, that is so exciting. Are you satisfied with that, or do you want to be plugged into the power? Do you want to hear the voice of Jesus Christ? Do you want your life to resemble the life that is written about in this book. Now, here's the reason. Here's the reason why little Eliza didn't know the full functionality of the horse, okay? This is the reason. The reason was because myself and Zara were probably very busy, okay, coming up to Christmas. We have the services, remember the Rocket Backward Forward? We were probably very busy, and we sort of pulled this thing out of the box, stuck some, whatever you call those things at the bottom are, stuck those on, wrapped it up, and shoved it there. We never read the book. There's a little book. We had to Google it to see what the thing does. But we never read the book. And the book was there to tell you what this thing can do. And folks, this book here is to tell you what this thing can do. That's what that book's about. So you don't read about Jesus, you know, healing people and delivering people and saving people. You don't read that and go, wasn't that good that it was for that time? You read that book and you say, I want to be with this guy. I want to be like this guy, and I want to do the things that this guy actually did. That's what we're about. We read the book. Now, it's not Eliza's fault that her father didn't pass on the right instructions. And maybe there is a truth to it, that for some of us, we have been taught a way of being that is not all that Jesus wanted us to be taught. Well, if myself or Carlton are guilty of that, we repent. But we want you to know that this life of Jesus is so much more than just saying yes once and then rocking backwards and forwards till he comes back. It's so much more. And we want, as a church, to be pushing into all of that. You know, we've just studied Acts. If we move on to the next slide, we've just studied Acts. And we've moved through it over the summer, and if you've been off sunning yourself in Cranfield or something, you can listen to the podcast. But we've just been studying it. And remember what Jesus said right before he ascended. Right before he ascended, he said that you need to wait and you need to be clothed with power before you do any ministry. So the power that Florence needed was a couple of AA batteries. The power that we need is the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. Now, that doesn't have to be weird. It doesn't have to be bizarre. But it's the way it's meant to be. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to be clothed in the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, John 16 that Melanie read to us, it says this. It says that Jesus says, it's better for you if I go. It's better for you if I go, and then the helper can come. We need the helper. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the power to get us into gear, to get our functionality fully going. We need the power. We need to plug in to the power. You know, I read this week, and I thought it was just powerful. It says this, and try and get this into your head, okay? This is tweetable. This is memorable. You'll not forget this. Christianity is either a supernatural faith or a superficial religion. You know, that's it. You know, you cannot read this book and say, yeah, I believe this book completely. I believe this book absolutely. But the way I'm going to live my life is I'm going to go to a church once a week. That's what Christian life's going to look like for me. Like, Jesus, I know it says that, in Luke, that unless we're willing to give up family and we're willing to take up our cross and follow you, we cannot be called your disciple. And I believe all that, but the way I'm going to do it is I'm going to go to church. And other than that, I'm not really going to do anything different than anybody else. We can't do it that way. It's either a supernatural faith or a superficial religion. And the difference maker, folks, I believe, is the power of the Holy Spirit wanting to tap in to the power and the voice that is available to us, just like we Florence here. What about you? Do you want a superficial religion or a supernatural life? You know, Theresa May, I don't know if this is good news or bad news for all of you, but Theresa May, I'm not going to talk about her dancing, okay? But she's trying to ban energy drinks for those that are either under 16 or under 18, depending on how things play out. And she doesn't want energy drinks like Monster and Red Bull and all those things in the vending machines, which I think I would support, you know. I think that's a good idea. But, you know, some people seem to view the Holy Spirit a bit like these energy drinks. It's that we sort of drink this power and we do these crazy things. But that's not at all the case. When we talk about the Holy Spirit, we are talking about having the life of Jesus living in us so that we can be with Him, like Him, and do the things that He did. The life of Jesus living in us. We cannot be disciples without the presence of Jesus living in us, the presence of the Holy Spirit living in us. 2 Peter says, it's by His divine power that we are able to live a godly life. See, we can't worship, and Andy led us in worship brilliantly this morning, we can't worship without the empowering of the Holy Spirit. We can't be like Jesus without the molding of the Holy Spirit, and we cannot do the things that Jesus did without the power of the Holy Spirit. We cannot live this life without being plugged in to Him. Folks, I have a particular gripe at the moment, and I know you shouldn't use sermons to share your gripes, but I think this might be a godly gripe, okay? I hope. But I have a problem with the way that Christians use the word faithful, okay? Because here's what I think sometimes Christians use this word in a particular way. I think the way they use this word is that they do the same thing every single year forever, okay? Or they do the same thing every week forever. And even if it's not having any impact on anybody or leading anyone to the Lord, they just continue doing it. Why? Because they're being faithful. But folks, faithful failure is still failure. You know, faithful failure is still failure. Jesus Christ wants us to be fruitful. Now, faithfully fruitful. And there will be times where we have to go and go and go and go, and there won't seem like there's much fruit, but then the fruit will break in. But we're not just called to be faithful failures. We're called to be faithfully fruitful. You know, I want us as a church to think, you know, what about our ministry? If we're not seeing people won for Jesus, healed by Jesus, you know, we're seeing God's kingdom break in, why are we doing it? And why are we not doing it differently? Because we need to be fruitful. Fruitful. You know, I love in Mark 9 where there's a demon-possessed boy and the disciples try and cast the demon out and they can't do it. And they come to Jesus and say, can't do it. And Jesus doesn't say, well, just keep being faithful. Just keeping faithful. He says no. He goes and he delivers the wee boy and then he says, this kind of thing can only be dealt with by prayer and fasting. So he's saying, if you want to be fruitful, you need to do something different. You know, I love what it says in 1 Corinthians 4 verse 20. It says, the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. Power. The Holy Spirit is our helper. He makes us fruitful. He clothes us in power. Do you want more of the presence of God in your life? Now, if we move on to the next slide, here are three reasons why I think the Holy Spirit gets blocked in our lives and the power of God gets blocked in our lives, and we can sometimes rock a bit more than plug into His power and hear His voice. The three things that I think block the power are wrong ideas, wrong conditions, and wrong experiences. Now, the first is wrong ideas. Wrong ideas. People say to me often, they say, we already have the Holy Spirit. You know, the Bible tells us that when we say yes to following Jesus, we get the Holy Spirit. And that is true. Ephesians 1 says that we get placed in us a deposit. of the Holy Spirit, guaranteeing our inheritance. Now, some of you ladies may have put down a pound for Kingdom Women, okay? But it costs £10. So a pound's your deposit. We're looking the other £9. God has put a pound of the Holy Spirit in you. It's a deposit. But there's more. You know, Ephesians 1, just think about this. Ephesians 1, it's Paul says that there's there's been a deposit of the Holy Spirit put into your lives, Ephesian church. And then a few verses later, he says, I keep asking that the God of Jesus Christ would fill you with the spirit of wisdom and knowledge that you might know Jesus better. So you've got the Spirit, but you want more of the Spirit. And the wrong idea has been that there's no more in God. There's always more. There's always more. The second thing is wrong conditions. Do our lives beckon the Holy Spirit? Do our lives beckon the Holy Spirit? The reading that Melanie read to us there from John 16, think about what Jesus says. He says, until I'm sitting on the throne, the Helper can't come. Until I'm sitting on the throne in heaven, the Holy Spirit can't fill you. Here's the question. Is Jesus Christ on the throne in your life? Because it's when we put Jesus Christ on the throne that the Helper can come, that the Holy Spirit can come. And finally, wrong experiences. We may not want the Holy Spirit and more of the Holy Spirit because we've seen some weird things that have put us right off. Okay? I wonder, I'll not ask you to raise your hand, but you can nod your head if you've seen some things that put you off this Holy Spirit stuff. Okay? A few nodding heads. All right? I have too. Believe me. I have had people that have said, Simon, you're going to speak in tongues. And then they've tried to force me to speak in tongues. And when I didn't, they walked away looking very annoyed. We've all seen stuff about the Holy Spirit that we maybe didn't like. I have a question for you. Has anybody here ever seen a counterfeit penny? Or have you ever brought a penny to pay for a penny chew in a shop and the sweet shop man held it up to the light to make sure it was real? No? Have you ever seen somebody do it with a £20 note? Got to check that. They did it in Mac's Chip Shop a few weeks ago to me. Check my 20 quid. I was thinking, I'm a minister? Been a clergyman? Anyway. You see, they never do it with a penny. Why not? Because it's not worth anything. It's worth so little. You see, something's only worth counterfeiting if it's valuable. God has given us the Holy Spirit, the greatest gift He's given us. It's connected to the cross, came from the cross, the greatest gift we ever received. It's valuable. It's valuable. Now, secondly, has anyone ever went into Mac's Chip Shop and handed in a £30 note? And they've checked it? Why not? No such thing, okay? You only counterfeit something that's valuable and you only counterfeit something that's real. Isn't that right? You don't counterfeit something that doesn't exist. So why does the enemy attack the theology of the Holy Spirit so much? Because it's valuable and it's real. You know, you might have seen excess, you might have seen weirdness, but you don't stop because of that. You know, the church in Corinth that Paul writes to, 1 and 2 Corinthians, they are absolutely weirdos in terms of what they're doing with the Holy Spirit. They're behaving in a totally disorderly way. But the fascinating thing is, Paul doesn't say, right now, cut it all out. No more of that, carry on. He doesn't. He tells them to be orderly. Orderly. Here's my fear, folks. My fear is that what we have sometimes embraced as order in the church is more like orderly graveyards than orderly hospitals. Do you understand what I mean? Like, graves are lovely and straight, aren't they? You can walk down these nice paths and all that sort of stuff. You know, it's very orderly. But it's there's no life. Hospitals don't look maybe very orderly, you know, where there's babies being born and all that sort of stuff. But there is an order to it, hopefully. Wrong experiences. Let's move on to the next slide. What does the Bible tell us? Well, it tells us in Ephesians 5, verse 18, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's an early manifestation of the Spirit there. Laughing. Okay. Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And that's not funny. That's true. Do not, but be filled with the Spirit. Then it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, it says, do not quench the Spirit. If the Holy Spirit's not speaking, we are quenching. It's as simple as that. If the Holy Spirit is not on fire in our church, it's because we are extinguishing Him. The command to disorderly people in these early churches where they're discovering the Holy Spirit is not to stop, it is to be ordered. Not like a graveyard where it doesn't happen, but like a place where babies are being born. Now, folks, we're coming in to just share this slightly overview now just to finish off. But if we move to the next slide, there's two ways the Holy Spirit manifests Himself in our lives. Two particular ways. One is through what's called the fruit of the Spirit. One is what's called the gifts of the Spirit. Now, think about this very closely as you look at these. You see some differences between those two words. Fruit is singular, gifts is plural. Okay? So here's the good news for you guys. If you are a Christian, you get to see growing in your life all of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Probably missed one, but those nine. All read about in Galatians chapter 5. You get to see all of those fruit growing in your life. All of them. That's why I've got an orange there. Because I give you an orange with nine segments in it that the character of Jesus wants to grow in your life. The gifts of the Spirit are different. We don't know exactly how many of those there are. You can read about them in lots of different places in the Bible, but you can definitely read them about them in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And there are things like gifts of prophecy, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, tongues, faith, miracles and healing. There's lots of gifts. Now, you don't get them all, but you definitely get one if you're a Christian. You definitely get one. You might get more. You might be able to operate in more throughout your life. But you get these gifts. Now, there's a difference. Another difference between fruit and gifts is that fruit grows. Okay? So when you become a Christian, you don't instantly become totally loving, totally joyful, and totally, you know, patient. I definitely haven't. But when you get a gift, you just get it, all right? If somebody gives you a gift and says, you have to work for that, it's not a gift, it's wages. And folks, here's the beautiful thing. God wants to grow all that fruit in your life, and He wants to give you at least one gift. He wants to give you at least one gift. So we're going to look this year, if we move on to the next slide, at a theme called fruitful and gifted. And we want people who are tired of the backwards and forwards motion, the faithful failure motion of Christian life without the power of God powerfully working in us. We want to encourage you, invest in this series, Fruitful and Gifted. If you move on to the next slide, we'll show you the plan. The plan is that on Sunday mornings, we're going to be looking at the gifts of the Spirit, and figuring out what do these mean, and figuring out, you know, how do we use these in the body of Christ? How do we use these outside of the body of Christ to bring more people to know Him? On Sunday evening, we're going to do some teaching on the fruit, and Carlton's going to start that this evening. Then we're going to have times where it says in the Bible, eagerly aspire to the gifts of the Spirit. Eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. So on Sunday evenings, every second Sunday, We're going to have some prayer times down in Mar Lynn at 5 p.m. And we're going to pray into these things that we're studying. Then on five Wednesday nights, I think this starts on the 19th of September, and the venue to be announced. Five Wednesday nights, starting the 19th of September, we're doing a course called Network. Put up your hand if you've done the Network course before. A few people have done it. Great. Well, this is a course that helps you discover what your spiritual gift might be. And then on Friday mornings, for anyone who's free during the day, we're going to be studying 1 Timothy together there as well. So we'll give you further notice of that in the weeks to come. We want you folks to be satisfied in Jesus, but dissatisfied in your current state with Jesus. We want you to be satisfied with Jesus, but dissatisfied with your current state in relation to Jesus. And we want you to invest in your spiritual formation, both in the character of Christ, that's who he is, personality of Christ, and then the gifts of the Spirit, the power of Christ. We want to encourage you, do not be satisfied with where you stand. Now, let's stand. And just as we come into land here, folks, we're going to do a couple of things as soon as I check the time. Loads of time. Not really. Let's move on to the next slide, please. Anyone recognize this movie? What is it? You guys are sharp. That's incredible. I can't even see it. That's amazing. Home Alone. Okay. Home Alone, what happens? Family getting ready to go out on holidays. I don't know where they're going. Monaghan or something like that. Okay. And they're so busy getting ready, they forget Macaulay Culkin. Bless him. And he dies horribly, attacked by thieves. No, he doesn't. He's okay. Don't worry, spoiler. He's okay. Do you know, folks, there's a story in Luke chapter 2 where something very similar happens. A wee couple are getting ready to leave Jerusalem, and they realize they have left Jesus behind. Home Alone, the original. Okay? Sort of. And here's the question. When we came into the kingdom, for those of us who have said yes to Jesus, to following him, we were given a deposit of the Holy Spirit. Have we forgotten that? Have we forgotten that? Have we left the Holy Spirit behind a wee bit? And you know what? I think the answer for everybody here, as it is for me, yes. Yes. Because we are not given him the place. We never will. In a sense, we're always going to be on a journey. We're not given him the place for his power and his voice to be speaking and working powerfully through our lives to the level that we want to. So this morning, as we set off in this series, and we want to really encourage you, do more than just a Sunday morning. Do more than just a Sunday morning. Do the Sunday nights, do the Network course, do whatever you can do, but do more than just the Sunday morning. We want to encourage you, do you want more of God? Do you? Excellent. Okay, well, my church wardens have a couple of wee cups for me here. These boys, fantastic. And come on up, that's powerful. Because I just need a coffee. No, that's not what this is about. But thank you. And the worship team are going to come forward as well. And Carlin's going to help me out. Thanks, Ross. Carlin's going to help me out here. Folks, you know, come, Lord Jesus, come, Holy Spirit, come. You know that? Come, Lord Jesus. All right, fantastic. We're going to just sing very simple words. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. We're going to sing those words just as the worship band lead us. And just as if you were coming up for Holy Communion, we want to encourage you. It doesn't matter what age you are, okay? Keep a lighter away from your face after this, but it doesn't matter what age you are. And very simply, we're going to do something that's always been done in the Christian church. We're just going to come forward as if we're coming forward for communion. And we're just going to very simply just anoint you with oil, which represents the Holy Spirit. So we just want to invite you to come forward and just receive the oil of the Holy Spirit. And just as you receive the oil, we want you to just say, come, Holy Spirit, under your breath, as a desire that you want more of Him. So, sorry, balcony. Long journey here for you this morning. Keep it moving, though, because there's spuds, I know, for you people. That's why we give you bacon buddies. I'm just going to pray, and then we just want to invite you to come forward. Please don't hang back. Holy Spirit, come. We want you to be present in our church. We want your power to be present in our church. We want your voice to be heard in our church. Your word says, Lord Jesus, that you do not want us to be uninformed about the spiritual gifts that you have for us. So, Lord, we set out on this journey that we might know you better, be filled with the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that we might know Jesus better. Thank you, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit,